So hopefully you've all got a handout. And the theme, and yes, my daughter did laugh at me when she said, are you off to speak on Psalms? I said, no. And she said, oh, is that okay? So, but what a topic to speak on Jesus Christ. So much that could be said. And certainly for me, it's so easy in the Christian life to be so busy doing Christian things that I can a little bit lose sight of the big picture of Jesus himself. And living the Christian life can be hard. I don't know many people in the room here. I guess there are people at all kinds of stages, many perhaps being Christian many years, some people more recently. I'm guessing there'll be a number who are just kind of looking into the Christian faith, maybe really don't know what to make of it. And I hope for all of us, actually focusing on Jesus will be what we need, whether we're wanting to think, how do I keep living the Christian life after years and years? Or I'm investigating the Christian faith. What do I need to know? Actually, Jesus is the answer to both of those. Because the Christian life isn't always, we've spoken a little bit now, but isn't always easy for a whole number of different reasons. Perhaps some of us here feel maybe I kind of lack love for God. We sing these songs, but I feel what I'm singing is that's slightly not quite where my heart is. Maybe we're facing different issues in our lives of wanting to grow in particular areas, but that feels painfully slow. We're not making the progress we would have hoped to have made. Maybe we feel thankless. Maybe secretly we don't find Jesus that appealing, and we find it slightly bewildering to be in church when others seem to, or at least that's the impression they give us on a Sunday. At times, particularly when life is hard, perhaps we doubt, are God's ways really best? Is he really good and kind? Is following him really life-giving? Or actually is it a little bit life-constricting and life-suppressing? And I'm increasingly persuaded that all of these things ultimately stem from our view of God. And in a sense, the remedy is certainly not to kind of look within and try and fix my love, try and fix my thankfulness, try and fix all the... But look up. Actually, every wrong view we have is ultimately traced to a wrong view of God. Every wrong pattern of behavior we have is ultimately linked to a wrong view of God. Knowing God is vital. Let me read these words from Jeremiah that are on your sheets. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understand and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Really interesting what we're not to boast in. And that word boast means what not to trust in, what not to pursue. Don't think these things will get you through the day. Don't think these things are what you need most. In school, I imagine some of these things are what we're encouraged to look for. Wisdom. If we know enough, if we get enough grades, that will get us through life. Maybe might, not necessarily just physical strength, but power and influence. If we can get to positions of power and influence, that will get us through. That will save us. That will keep us safe. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Money does solve so many problems, at least superficially. And we think if we can just get enough money, I can control the outcomes. I'll be okay. And the Lord doesn't say these things are useless, but says don't boast in these. What are we going to seek? What are we going to pursue? What are we going to encourage our children to pursue? Let him who boasts, what do we treasure? Boast in this, that he understands and knows me. Nothing more central, nothing more vital than knowing the Lord. And I love it how immediately the Lord goes on to say, not just know me, and then he explains, know what about him? His character. I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. What ultimately do we need to know to get us through life and actually beyond? Know the God who delights in love, justice, and righteousness, and delights in those things. Know him, understand him, not just know about him, be in relationship with him, and that transforms everything else. This is from 2 Corinthians 3:18. Paul writes this, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. As we behold him, as we gaze on him, as we look at Jesus, we become made like him. We're being transformed into the same image. We're made like him." Sometimes said, you are what you worship. What you delight in, what you treasure, will shape you. And so the encouragement is, well, treasure Christ. And I guess the question is, well, how do we do that? I want to do that. I'm persuaded. How do we do that? And we're going to think about that for our four sessions this weekend. We're going to think about not just celebrating the gifts. You see, certainly in my own life, I find it very easy to rejoice in forgiveness. What a glorious gift. The fact that my sins, the worst things that perhaps no one else knows about, the worst things I've done are forgiven. I'm cleansed. I'm washed. I'm not guilty. I don't need to pay the penalty for those sins anymore. What a joy. Free forgiveness. The hope of eternal life when, as I discovered that Easter Sunday, death is that figure that haunts us all through life and one day we all succumb to. And Jesus promises eternal life. What a gift. So many blessings, but Jesus says, the scriptures say, beyond those is the giver. And sometimes I need to just have my eyes lifted to the giver of those blessings, not that forgiveness, salvation, these things are not glorious things, but let's not have them without focusing on Christ as well. And so we're going to think about Jesus' character. His character. I mentioned I've got an 11-year-old daughter. Well, nearly 11. She's about to turn 11. At some point, the dreaded conversation is going to happen, and she's going to say, "I've met a boy." I mean, 25 years from now, probably, when we finally allow her out of the house on her own. But at some point, she'll say, "I've met a boy." And as a parent, other than going and purchasing a gun and doing all those very sensible things, as a parent, what's the question I want to ask at that point? It's surely, what's he like? What's he like? Tell me about him. Because if it's about a relationship, we want to know, well, what's this person like? I probably don't ask, what gifts does he buy you? What's his bank balance like? I want to know about his character. And if we say, as we rightly do, that the Christian faith is a relationship with Jesus, well, the question we're going to think about this weekend is, well, it's a relationship. The greatest, the deepest relationship, what's he like? Tell me about his character. Not just the gifts he gives us. Yeah, they're important, they're good. Not just his bank balance or all the riches he bestows us, but what's he like? And I've been a Christian many, many years, but sometimes I lose sight of that question. That's what we're going to think about. And the kind of the lens we're going to do it through is the little picture at the bottom of the sheet there, the fruit of the Spirit. As I was preparing to think about how do we focus on Christ, so many ways we could do that, but his character, as you read the fruit of the Spirit, we realize the fruit of the Spirit is Christ-likeness. Growing in godliness is growing to be like Christ, and so all these wonderful fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, love, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness, they're Christian virtues, but they're descriptions of our Savior. We won't have time for all of them this weekend, but in each session, we're going to just take one of these and just use it as a window to think about our Savior, perhaps in a way we might not be as familiar. Not how does he save us, not what does he save us from, not what does he save us for, but what's he like? Tell me about him. What's his character? Why is relationship with him such good news? Why actually can eternal life in John's Gospel be described as this is eternal life, knowing the one true God and Jesus who he sent. Knowing God, that's what eternal life is. That's what salvation's for. He saved us so we might know him. He forgave our sins so we might be in relationship with him. He raised us to eternal life so we might live with him. It's all about him. We're going to think about his glorious character. And so, just for this first session, as I say, we're going to do four characteristics. Turn over the side. We're going to think about love for the rest of our time now. After the break, we're going to think about joy. Have you ever thought about Jesus as joyful? Tomorrow, we're going to think about Jesus' kindness. And then in the final session, Jesus' gentleness. He is utterly compelling. And I hope just we'll begin to glimpse some of these features as we have a think. So first, we're going to think about the love of Christ. Don't worry about the slightly peculiar diagram just for the moment. We're going to think about the love of Christ. God is love, we know. I guess if we were to describe God, that would be one of the first things we might say. Actually, in a sense, love is the virtue that sums up all the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. I thought about, you know, we could think about how Jesus' love for us is a joyful love, is a patient love, is a faithful and committed love, is a gentle love, is a good love, is a kind and generous love. We could use all these as windows. And I guess the love of God is a maybe familiar topic. And so what I want to do just as we begin is just step back a little and think, okay, God is love. Well, when did that begin? When did that begin? Again, maybe you're here looking into the Christian faith. Maybe you're wondering if there is a God. I heard of a conversation between a Christian and someone who was investigating the Christian faith, and I think it was even a church leader of some kind. And so someone, you know, aware, this kind of person inquiring was aware they're speaking to a church leader, and they said, I'm sorry, I think they felt slightly embarrassed. I have to confess, I don't believe in God. Sort of midway through this conversation, they wanted to kind of come close. I have to say, I don't believe in God. So the church leader wisely said, well, tell me a little bit about this God you don't believe in. And so this person described the sort of the God as they saw God but didn't believe, and the church leader's response has kind of stuck with me. They said, well, I don't believe in that God either, and actually nor would I want to. And it's just so interesting, because I think so often Christians and those inquiring, we can have wrong views of God. And the Bible doesn't say God exists in a general way, because some of what we might think of as God is actually a different God to the God of the Bible, a God that I don't believe in and I wouldn't want to believe in. See, if you have a look at that, if I kind of like diagrams, if none of this makes any sense, ignore the handout. It's helpful to me, so makes me feel good about myself. So have a look if it's useful. But I wonder if we have a view of God, or there is a common view of God that's something like this view on the left. God is sort of distant and far off and remote, sort of cold. The sort of the headmaster in the sky. That, forgive me, any headmasters here. But sort of cold disciplinarian who's uncaring, who is uninvolved, and actually, if the truth be told, is a bit needy. A bit lonely. Imagine if you were just stuck on a desert island for years and years and years with no human contact. You'd start to go a little crazy, wouldn't you? You'd just be desperate for someone to talk to. You'd be desperate for someone to speak to. And I think some people think of God a little bit like that, this purely singular God who's distant and cold and ultimately a bit needy. And maybe he created the world just so he'd have someone to talk to. Actually, just so there'd be someone to love him. And it's not particularly a pleasant picture. Because, just run with it, if God is like that, then what is our purpose? Why are we here on this view? It's to to serve him and meet a need in him. He wants to use us. It's all about what's in it for him. And I think so often when people have a view of God, probably the most common view of God in society is something like that. I have to say, I totally, do people remember the campaign? I lived in London at the time. London buses, the British, I want to get this right, I think it was the British Atheist Association, possibly the British Humanist Association, supported by Richard Dawkins, paid for some signs on London buses, and they were everywhere. There's probably no God, so stop worrying and enjoy your life. And these were kind of, these were all over the place. And, you know, some Christians were unhappy with this. In many ways, I thought, obviously disagreed with what was being said, I thought it was an interesting conversation starter, actually. But I have to say, I've got a little sympathy, because I think that the God that Richard Dawkins and others weren't believing in was a God I didn't want to exist, because it was a God that was cold and needy, and if he was about anything, it was about using people and people serving him, and really he was out to ruin people's lives. Yet the biblical picture of God is so different. The biblical picture of God is love. Not just that he loves, but he is love and his very being. And we haven't got time to explore in detail, but as you read the scriptures, we read of a God who is one God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And we can spend days and weeks and years trying to plumb the depths of some of that, but at its heart, what it means is God in his very being is relationship. In his very being, you can't have God without relationship, because he is eternally, forever, Father, Son, and Spirit in perfect loving relationship. God is love. Even before the world was created, there was a blaze of passionate love. Father, Son, and Spirit in perfect relationship. And so, forgive the slightly human illustrations, but rather than God being some miserable person on a desert island who's desperate for some people to meet his need, rather it's more like the picture of a wonderful party or a wonderful barbecue, and you think, this is so wonderful, we need to invite the neighbors. We need, let's have others share in this, because it is so wonderful. God's creation of the world is not a needy, grabbing, grasping thing, but a giving thing. God is perfectly sufficient in love, and the creation of the world is so his love can be shared, actually so people can be brought into that relationship of love. God being Trinity, yes, we may have questions. We may think, again, please don't think the diagram here is supposed to picture God as a triangle or anything like that. It's just trying to show God as Trinity means he is love. And so when did God start to love? Well, long before the creation of the world. He's always been loving. He's always been loved. And so when Jesus came to earth, and when he interacted with people, and maybe if you're investigating Christianity, let me encourage you, read one of the Gospels, one of the accounts of Jesus' life, and just look at how he treated people. He never used them. He certainly never abused them. Used his power to get something from them. It was the other way around. He always loved, and we'll think a little bit in the session, I think tomorrow morning, he always gave, because he is love. The reason he acted like that was because that's what he's always been like. When Jesus came and died on the cross, I've thought differently about this recently. Again, forgive a slightly speculative picture, but I picture two angels in heaven discovering what's going on, that God the Son is coming to earth, not just coming to earth. I mean, remember how many galaxies there are? Billions. I think there's as many galaxies as people who've ever lived on the planet. and that's known galaxies. So of all these billions and billions of galaxies, of all these billions and billions and billions of planets, God is coming down to this one to be born as one of them. And you can imagine the angels just discussing it. And then what? He's going to let himself be killed by them so that he can bring them to live with him in heaven. And you can imagine one angel saying, that is just what? He's doing what? That the creator of all this is doing that. And I don't know, but I just imagine the other angel saying, yeah, but you know what? Isn't that just the sort of thing we'd expect from him? Isn't that just what he's... I mean, it's crazy, it's mad, it's unbelievable, but isn't that just what we'd expect? He's always been like that, hasn't he? He's always been loving. He's always been giving. He's always been good. Actually, I'd never have dreamed it, but now I see it. I think that shows his character perfectly. And in a sense, I'm not surprised. And when Jesus walked on earth, he wasn't doing something different. He wasn't playing a role. He was just being himself. God come to earth so we could see what does God's love look like? It looks like I'm prepared to die for you because I love you that much. It's not about what I get in return. I love you that much. I think a God who wasn't triune, who wasn't Trinity three in one, couldn't be like that because he's that cold, needy God. And so in one sense, we're still at the level of introduction. We're going to look at more particular examples from Jesus' life. We're going to think in more detail. But perhaps from this first session, the thing to take away is just maybe we need to just slightly enlarge our view of God. Because he is Trinity, because he is Father, Son, and Spirit in perfect loving relationship, he doesn't need anything from us. He's not after things from us. He's not out to use us. Actually, he is love in his very being. And so all his relationships are characterized by this generous, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, faithful, gentle, good, self-controlled love. And actually, that's not the case of any other worldview, any other religion, anything else we might be tempted to trust in, anything else we might be tempted to follow. If we're thinking, as I think it's a very natural question, if we're thinking, is Jesus someone I can trust? Can I throw my lot in with him, or am I just going to get hurt? Am I going to get suppressed? Am I going to get slightly crushed? Is this someone I can trust? Well, let me ask, can you think of any other way, any other God, any other worldview who is loving in this way? Everything else we follow that isn't God will ultimately be demanding things from us. Anything else we seek after will demand things from us and take from us. But God is the good shepherd. He didn't come to take, but to give, to lay his life down for the sheep. I think we'll pause there. We'll come on, as I say, to some more specifics in the later sessions. But I want us to lift our eyes, and I hope just to start the weekend, and maybe we'll just take a minute or two's quiet to reflect. And then I'll lead us in a prayer that this weekend we would see more of this love, more of Christ's character. And as we do so, we'd be equipped to live for him. But firstly, a moment to reflect on what we've been hearing. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Loving God, we give you praise and glory. Please lift our eyes that we may see you as you are. Please correct wrong and small ideas we have about you. Please correct harsh and domineering ideas we may have about you. Please help us to see you as not just loving, but love itself, the source of all love and goodness and beauty and truth. Thank you for demonstrating that love in Christ coming to earth for us and for our salvation. And we praise you in his name. Amen.